Great. Hello, I'm Michael Koth. I'm a clinical psychologist at the Houston VA, and I want to acknowledge my co-author in this presentation, Michelle Sherman, who's a clinical psychologist at the Oklahoma City VA. And I'm going to talk about my role in the VA a little more later. Here we go. No disclosures. Almost all that I'm going to be talking about today are in an upcoming article in Professional Psychology Research and Practice. I want to acknowledge my co-authors and collaborators in this study. It's from census data, it's estimated there are about 1 million gay and lesbian veterans. We don't know how many gay and lesbian veterans are in the VA right now. But the VA has become increasingly interested in serving gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender veterans in recent years, and there are a number of forces that are at play that have kind of converged to make this happen and sustain this movement. I don't have time to talk in detail about those forces. It's a very interesting story. These are some that I think are important forces at play right now. And of course, we know that in the general population, LGBT individuals experience a number of health disparities. We think that's probably true of LGBT veterans. We don't know a lot about LGBT veterans. Some colleagues and myself published a review of available literature on LGBT veteran healthcare. There's not a lot out there. There's a little bit of literature on HIV and veterans, men who have sex with men. They're not often gay identified. So it doesn't tell us a lot about gay-identified veterans. There's a little bit of literature on lesbian veterans and sexual trauma. They experience a higher proportion of sexual trauma than heterosexual female veterans. In a recent survey that we didn't include in the review, Simpson and colleagues found in a recent survey that about a third of gay, lesbian, bisexual veterans only a third had disclosed their sexual orientation to their VA providers, and about a quarter had avoided care from worry about stigma and discrimination. And then, similarly, in a small community sample of transgender veterans, Shippard and colleagues found also that healthcare is often avoided because of fear of stigma and discrimination. The VA is concerned about this because the VA wants to be the healthcare provider of choice for all veterans, not just heterosexual veterans. What we were interested in were the attitudes and behaviors of VA providers towards LGBT veterans and the experiences of the veterans themselves in the VA, what barriers are perceived for LGBT veterans, and what the VA might do to create a more welcoming environment for LGBT veterans. So we had a mixed method study conducted at the Houston and the Oklahoma City VA. We asked VA providers to complete an online anonymous survey. We invited LGBT veterans to participate in a focus group or personal interviews, and they also completed a short survey. We had just over 200 providers participate. The majority were women, white, and heterosexual. Almost half were in mental health. And interestingly enough, a large majority said they have a family member or friend who is gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. We had 58 veterans across the two sites that participated. The majority were women, white, mostly gay, lesbian. For the next few slides, I'm going to give you the results for the providers. We asked about training on LGBT issues during their professional education, and much to our surprise, almost half said they had some training in LGBT issues. We didn't follow that up to ask more specifically what they were trained in, a little bit more about the content. So I wonder what kind of training they actually got. And a little over 40% said they had some training after their professional education. And it would have been nice if we had learned a little bit more about what that was. That might have been some recent training that we actually did at the VA. We asked providers, how appropriate is it for providers to ask about a patient's sexual orientation during a clinic appointment? And almost half said it's usually or always important to assess. keep that figure in mind. Almost half said it's usually or always important to assess. A fifth said, never or rarely should you ask this question. We asked, how comfortable do you feel talking with your patients about sexual orientation? And two-thirds said they feel quite comfortable doing this. There was no difference in comfort levels between talking to male or female patients. Female providers were a little more comfortable than male providers. We asked, what proportion of your current patients have you directly asked about sexual orientation? And half of them said none of their patients. A little over 25% said they had asked 25 to 50% of their patients about sexual orientation. Mental health providers were more likely to ask than non-mental health providers. We asked, if you know that a veteran, a patient, is lesbian, gay, or bisexual, do you change your treatment plan in any way? And less than 10% said that they do. More than half don't change their treatment plan. We didn't ask their thinking around changing a treatment plan or what information would be important in changing that treatment plan, so there may be a lot of reasons why they wouldn't. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Non-mental health providers, though, are more likely to change their treatment plan than mental health providers. We asked, how many transgender veterans do you have in your caseload in the last year? There aren't that many transgender veterans in the VA, but we're a little surprised to see that about 40% said 1 to 5. That's a fair number in your caseload. How comfortable do you feel providing care to transgender veterans? Again, two-thirds said they feel quite comfortable. Looking at data for providers and veterans, we asked, how important is it for the VA to be welcoming to LGBT veterans? Both groups said this is quite important. How welcoming is your VA to LGBT veterans? Now, this was interesting. Veterans had responses evenly dispersed across the rating scale. Not sure what that means. The VA providers, though, focused on the neutral response, neither welcoming nor unwelcoming. Maybe not willing to take a position on that. I'm going to skip this slide in the interest of time. We asked both groups to rate 15 potential barriers that might keep LGBT veterans from coming to the VA. And one of the top-rated barriers for both groups was this one, hurtful rejecting experiences in the VA. We have two quotes here from members of our focus group that help support this finding in the quantitative data. A gay male veteran said, quote, I don't think the military and the VA properly recognize the trauma that is created in people by being other than straight in the military. A lot of my anxieties and the mistrust I have for people began in the military, where you had to not be yourself, end quote. And a lesbian female said, quote, I look at the VA as an extension of my experience on active duty. At a moment's notice, somebody could come in and just say, you're a lesbian, and I'm going to snatch your retirement income from you right now and all of your benefits, and it would be gone just like that, end quote. We asked both groups how you think the VA could be more welcoming, and we provided 8 potential suggestions, things that the VA might do, and asked them to rate those suggestions. And the top 3 responses for both groups are here. Post the Patient Bill of Rights. There is a VA Patient Bill of Rights that is posted in a facility. It does include a statement about sexual orientation and gender expression and the non-discriminatory clause. Also use inclusive language on forms and in intakes by providers and make community resources available. And then from the focus groups, the veterans themselves had a number of suggestions for how the VA could be more welcoming. And we grouped those suggestions in 4. I'm going to give you all 4 of those and talk a little bit about each suggestion. Number 1, provide training in working with sexual and gender minority veterans. Less than half of the providers in our study said they had any kind of training in LGBT healthcare issues. And there are a number of really good sources out there that provide free quality training. These are some of them. The VA is actually one. I helped, and some colleagues in the room helped produce some of those materials that are available for free on a VA SharePoint site that's open to all VA employees. Number two, provide LGBT-sensitive care consistent with research on health disparities. You saw half of providers did not ask their patients about sexual orientation, and many felt it wouldn't change their treatment plan if they did. A frequent suggestion from LGBT veterans was to make these kinds of questions part of routine care, make it the norm, but also talk about why it's important to ask these questions. It was clear from the focus groups that some veterans weren't clear why anyone would be asking these questions, and they were a little concerned about it. And it was also clear from the provider data that they weren't sure why they should be asking these kinds of questions. Number three, explore local culture regarding LGBT veterans and staff. And a great suggestion that came up from the veterans was to identify at each facility a local LGBT patient representative, not the generic patient representative that's at every facility, but a special LGBT patient representative. That could be the point person when patients have a problem, could also be the point person for local initiatives at the hospital. And fourth and finally, adopt inclusive and LGBT-affirming practices in the clinic. And here are the suggestions that you already saw posting the Patient Bill of Rights, providing community resources, and using inclusive language. And last, I want to close by talking about one giant step I think the VA has taken in the last couple of years in advancing knowledge and care in LGBT veteran health. And that's appointing two part-time LGBT program coordinators for the Office of Patient Care Services. This is the office that oversees all clinical services in the VA. I'm one of those program coordinators. My colleague, Jillian Shippard, a psychologist here in Boston, is the other one. And our task is to develop and provide training to VA clinicians on LGBT healthcare. We've done a number of trainings, created a number of resources. We created the SharePoint site that I referred to earlier. And we make suggestions on best policies and practices for clinical care in the VA and respond to questions that come in from the field and from program offices and from Congress about what the VA is doing. So I'm very proud of the work that the VA has done so far. We've got a long way to go, but we're moving in the right direction. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thanks, Michael. I would remind everyone that on Wednesday, if you enjoyed what Michael was talking about, we also have a full session on LGBT issues in the military Wednesday morning at 8:30 a.m. if anyone wants to come. So without further ado, here is Albert Almazan.